began talking week before last, the faith of a sojourner. Faith is the victory. We've sang about that this morning. And we want to talk about this faith that we have as Christians. And it's as sojourning. This world is not our home. We're traveling to another place, a better place. And we made 3 points in the first lesson. That this faith is based on revelation. It's based on God's Word. And we believe those things which are revealed. And these things, because we believe them, they move us to act in a particular way in our lives. We also talked about that this faith brings us to obedience. This faith, it's being convicted because of the Word of God as we believe that. And it brings us to obedience, that this faith is perfected by works, as James says. And these works are obedience. And that with reverence and awe, we obey God. Thirdly, we talked about that we obey God even when we do not understand. We talked about Abraham as he offered up his son. And how the Bible tells us that he did not understand how God was going to keep his promise and yet have him sacrifice his son, his only son, through whom the nations of the world would be blessed. We talked about Rahab, who had to put out a scarlet cord out a particular window and stay up in her house, which was upon the wall. That wall which had fallen down, certainly she could not understand the commandment of God, but yet rendered obedience. So we walk by faith and not by sight. This morning, as we continue with the lesson in the second and the last part here this morning, we talk about the fact that our faith is accounted as righteousness. It's reckoned as righteousness. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 6 through 9. I want to look at this passage and then one other passage from Romans chapter 4. Galatians chapter 3 and beginning in verse 6. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." And I want us to realize this morning that we have believed God and it's reckoned. This word reckoned, it means it is literally an accounting, a numeric calculation. Metaphorically, it means an imputation or accounting of one thing as if it were something else. In other words, you and I as Christians, we're not able to be righteous because we have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And there is no possible way in and of ourselves that we can be righteous to God. So God in His wisdom has come up with this plan whereby we be saved. And that our faith is reckoned for something else, and that is righteousness. Look at verse 7 for just a moment. "Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'All the nations will be blessed in you.' So that those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." Now turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 12. And points out even more to the fact that you and I are walking in the footsteps of Abraham, that is, by faith, and therefore this faith is accounted or reckoned as righteousness. Romans chapter 4, verse 12, "And the father of circumcision, to those who not only are of the circumcision, but those who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham," get that, "follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised." And so you and I have this faith, the same faith as Abraham, and it's reckoned, it's accounted as righteousness. Now, let me illustrate this. We are born into the world, and we're babies. We have no sin. We are saved. We are righteous before God. If a little baby dies, the baby goes to heaven. The baby is not sinned. But then in time, we sin, all of sin, falling short of the glory of God. And so we are not righteous. So God has moved our mark from the righteous column to the unrighteous column. That's the accounting that has taken place. But then we believe that we have this faith of a sojourner, this faith that obeys God even when we do not understand the commands that God issues forth, yet we obey just like Abraham, just like Rahab, just like all the patriarchs. Now God then, because of this faith, God then takes and makes a change in this accounting. He reckons it. He accounts it as righteousness. And because of that then, we are saved. Now at what point does God do this? At what point does God say, your faith now is accounted, it's reckoned, I've changed the ledger. The X goes out of the unrighteous and he places it in the righteous. At what point does he do that? Now turn with me over to Galatians chapter 3. And I want you to plainly see, I want us to understand, I want us to realize as Christians the working of God in our lives. And if you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to realize the working that God will do in your life if you do these things, you have this faith that is accounted for righteousness. Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Even so Abraham, read it again. Even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Now, go with me just a little further to the latter part of the chapter and look at verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. So he said, be sure that you who walk by faith, that you are the children of Abraham. Your faith has been accounted as righteousness. Now, for us as Christians, at what point does God do this? At what point does God make this ledger change? That we are unrighteous, we've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God. At what point does He remove the X from the unrighteous and put the X in the righteous column? It's when we are baptized into Jesus Christ. When we have this faith of Abraham to be baptized in obedience to God, just like Abraham perhaps did not understand, how was it that God was going to have him sacrifice his son and yet he was going to keep his promise? Abraham said, well, if God had to, God would raise him from the dead, even if he did so figuratively. How is it with Rahab? And she had to put the cord out the window. What does putting a scarlet cord out of a window have to do with being saved? Can you answer that question? And what does staying in your house, which is upon the wall, when the walls come tumbling down, what does staying in one particular house have to do with being saved? I'll tell you what it has to do with. It's what God said, and it's what must be done. So what does being baptized have to do with being saved? Could not God choose some other way to be saved? Could God not have chosen by faith to pray a prayer of faith receiving Jesus Christ into your heart to be saved? God could have chosen that, but God did not. God chose that we are baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and because of our faith we obey, whether we understand that or not. Now turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I know you know the passage. I know that most of you sitting here in the audience can quote this passage, but I want you to look at it and to read it with me from the Word of God this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Corresponding to that, or your Bible may say there is an antitype. Now he's been talking about Noah. And remember when God spoke to Noah and he warned him of the things that were going to be happening. And he warned him that there was going to be a flood and all the flesh was going to be killed. And he told him to build an ark. Now if you could imagine being on the earth at the time of Noah, And from everything we know from the Bible, it's never rained. And God says, there's going to be rain. There's going to be a flood. Noah will say, well, God, that is ridiculous. What are you talking about? But Noah believed, and Noah obeyed. He was saved with his family, 8 in total. Now, corresponding, or there's an antitype just like that. To be saved through this water, as Noah was saved through water. And he says, baptism now saves you. I tell you what. Well, when I talk with friends and neighbors and I'll ask them, I'll say, do you believe what 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says? And what does it say? So that baptism now saves us. The Bible doesn't say that. Many refuse to believe that the Bible says that baptism now saves you. Now Peter explains, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God or an answer to God. In other words, it's what God has commanded, and this is the way that we ask God to save us and to wash away our sins, to account our faith as righteousness. This is what God has ordained. If God would have ordained something else, we would have done that. If God would have ordained that we pray a prayer to Jesus, asking him to come into our heart, we would have done that, but that's not what God ordained. He ordained that we are baptized for the remission of our sins. And when we have the faith to do that, remember, that's a great stumbling block in the world. There are many in the world who do not believe that. The scripture is so plain. When we have the faith to do that, just like Abraham took his son to offer him as a sacrifice, not understanding how God was going to work this all out. Just like Rahab put the little scarlet cord and stayed in her house when the walls came tumbling down, probably not understanding how God was going to do all this. When we have that faith, to believe that when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, that our sins are washed away, we're washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, that we're added into the church, that God accounts our faith as righteousness, that he takes the X out of the unrighteous and he places it in the righteous. Not that we in and of ourselves have done anything great, but simply obeyed the command of God to be baptized into Jesus Christ. As a sojourner, our faith is accounted as righteousness. And when we're baptized, this is the first time that X is moved. But now we live the rest of our lives with this faith that is obedient to God. As we go throughout this life, our faith is growing and maturing. We see this with Abraham, and you remember that he deceived people 2 times, that his wife was his sister and that they were not married. He was afraid. He had a lack of faith. And we see that he grew and he matured. When he was older in age, and God said that in your old age you would have a son, when your wife's body is even dead, that she was going to bear a son, that Abraham believed and his wife believed also. We see that God had him go and sacrifice his son, and he went up and he made that sacrifice up to the very point that God stopped him. We see it with Rahab, who was a harlot, who had little or no faith. Then she hid the spies and she obeyed the command to be saved, and she was not destroyed with the unbelievers. Later she married an Israelite and became the mother of Boaz in the lineage of Christ. Do you see her faith growing where there's little to no faith? And then she has great faith to be in the lineage of Christ. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, cursing, afraid of the reprisal from the Jews, possible crucifixion with Jesus Christ. Later he became a leader among the apostles and did great miracles, and he died as indicated by the Lord, glorifying God. History tells us crucified upside down. What a change in faith. Paul didn't believe. He persecuted Christians, put them in prison, put them to death. He had no faith in Jesus Christ. Later, he saw Jesus. He became an apostle. He sacrificed greatly for the gospel. He had great faith, and he died, history tells us, being beheaded in Rome. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. As we make our journey throughout this life, as we are on our journey to heaven, to another place, to a more important place, as our attitude is this, that this earth is not my home, that I am just passing through. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged. Greatly enlarged. And the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. And so their faith was enlarged. Their love was growing. And so we as Christians, as we go throughout this life, we are growing and we are maturing as we go throughout this life and on our journey. Every faithful child grows. Jesus grew in wisdom while he was upon the earth. And the growth of others, we've noticed Abraham, Rahab, Peter, Paul, and we could look at all of the patriarchs and the apostles. And how do we grow in this faith? We've recently talked about this. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Looking into the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation that performs its work in those who believe, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We go to the Word of God and we study and we learn and we know and we apply these things to our lives and we grow day by day. God gives us everything pertaining to life and godliness. As a result, we are partakers of the divine nature. The Word of Christ dwelling in us richly as we sing spiritual songs to God and one another, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And I ask you, you may be great at Bible study, but let me ask you this. How often do you sing praises to God? Only when we come together as a church? How often are these songs going through your mind? Are they going through every day? Are they going while you're at work or school or in the car? Or are you bombarding yourself with the pop culture media of the day? What decision are you making? We're devoted to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, and we assemble together to be stimulated to love and good works, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. This is all part of our process of growing. A sojourner's faith results in living to obtain an eternal inheritance. And let me ask you, what are you living for? Well, what are your goals? What are your ambitions in life? Well, what's the main thing that you're going after in life? What's important to you in life? Is it getting to heaven? Let me ask you this. How often do you think about heaven? How often do you think about, you know, today could be the day the Lord returns. Today could be the day that I'm in a car accident or something happens and I die and I'm taken away from this life. How often do you think about that? How often do you think about, you know, wow, wouldn't it be great today the Lord comes back and I'm in heaven? Wouldn't that be the greatest thing that could ever happen to me today? Do you think that way? Or do you think, you know what? This world's pretty cool. It's pretty good. You know, I got a nice house, and you know, I got a couple of nice cars, and I got some really nice friends, and families are really nice and everything. You know, Lord, please don't come anytime soon. I'm having too good of a time. The faith of a sojourner. The faith of a sojourner is one who is living to obtain this eternal inheritance. This is why we are living. So look over at Hebrews chapter 11 with me for just a second. Let's look at a couple of passages. And seriously ask yourself this morning, do I have this faith, the faith of Abraham, the faith that is accounted for righteousness? Oh, sure, when I became a Christian, but how about now? How about now? Is this the way you think about things? Verse 9. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Do you think of things here in this life as being temporary? Just lasting for a little while. I'm just using them for a while, then they're going to belong to someone else, but I'm going somewhere more important. I'm looking for that city. I'm longing for that city. That's what my life is about. It's all about getting to that city. Is that the way you're living your life? Is that the way you're thinking? Is that your attitude? Is that your attitude? If not, I tell you something. We need some of this growing and maturing Just like Abraham had to grow and mature in his life, we need some growing and maturing. How do we do it? We get into the Word of God. We don't involve ourselves all the time with the pop media. We're singing songs of the Lord. We're devoted to prayer. We're spiritual people. That's how we do it. Look a little further, verse 13. And these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance. What does that mean, having seen them? They didn't receive them. Having seen them and welcomed them from a distance. What does that mean? That means this. They lived every day as if they had those promises. They lived every day as if heaven was right here. They were right at the threshold of entering in. It was like today is the day. I expect today to be the day. Do we live that way? Do we see the promises? Can we taste it? Can we feel it? Are we welcoming it? Or are we saying, Lord, can you just put this off for a little while? Say, Lord, I appreciate these blessings here, and life is pretty good. And can you put this eternal life thing off for a little while? You know, things are pretty good down here. And we live in such a prosperous country that it's easy to be caught up. It's easy to be entangled. And not to say, you know, I really don't care about this stuff. I really don't care. I don't care about the house. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the cars. I love my family, but you know, I want to be with my wife. I want to be with my children, but I want to be with God more. That's where I want to be. Seeing and welcoming. Go a little further. Seeing and welcoming them from a distance, and having confessed that they are strangers and exiles on the earth. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you made that confession? When's the last time you made that confession? When's the last time in your own mind, as you're thinking, you know, I'm just an exile? What does that mean to be an exile? This really isn't my home. This isn't what I care about. You know, I've got to be here for a while, and that's fine. I'm going to make the best of it, and life's pretty good here, and the Lord blesses me, but this is not where I want to be. I want to be somewhere else. I'm an exile. And when's the last time you made that confession in your mind? Now, let me ask you something else. When's the last time you verbalized it? When's the last time you verbalized it? When's the last time you're talking to your friends, your neighbors, your family, and saying, I really don't care about that stuff. You know, I'm just an exile. I'm a stranger here. This world's not my home. Heaven's really where I'm headed. You know, someone will say something. Wow, isn't that really cool, man? Look at this thing that you really got. This is a really neat thing. Say, yeah, but, you know, I really don't care about those things. That's really not what's important in life. You know, it's all right to have and everything, but, you know, I just really don't care about it too much. They made this confession. This is the faith of a sojourner. And to have this faith that's accounted for righteousness, this is the faith we have to have. This is the faith we have to grow to have. Do you have that faith? And are you growing to have that faith? Go with me a little bit further. Verse 14. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Now you see, our speech reflects our heart. If we're not talking about this, if we're not thinking about this, it's reflecting our heart to say, you know, you really don't have this faith yet. I mean, you've really not come to the whole portion of faith where you need to get to. You're really not there yet. Those who say, verbalize these things make it clear that they're seeking this country. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they had went out, they would have had an opportunity to remain. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And do we think that way? Do you think that way? I'm living to get something better. I'm living for a better situation. Whenever this life is over, that's fine with me. I'm ready to move on. Are you ready to move on? Do you want to move on? Or do you sort of like it here? You want to stay a while? Get your songbooks up, will you, for a second? Number 230. And I want to look at this song for just a second. As I mentioned, if a congregation could have a theme song, I think this would be ours. We like singing it a lot. The young folks like singing a lot. I think anymore, when one of the men leads it as a closing song, I think most people just put their books down. I mean, we like this song. We know this song. I want you to look at verse 1. And when we sing this song, I want you really to do a check with your heart. You know, is this really me? Am I really singing what is in my heart? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Do you really think that way? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Jesus says, Matthew 6, 19 to 21, wherever we store up our treasures, there our heart's going to be. Where are you storing up your treasure? Are they somewhere beyond the blue, or are they down here somewhere? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, those who are rich are to be sharing with others who have need, and in that way storing up these treasures, a good foundation for the life that is to come. And are you doing that with your money? Are you doing that with your riches? Are you storing up that good foundation? What effect does having treasures in heaven and not on the earth make upon us? Making the decision, you know, all this stuff would be cool, and doing all these things would be cool, and going all these places would be cool. But you know, yeah, some of that is fine, and that's enjoyable, but there's more important things in life. There's more treasures to be laid up. Verse 2, look at that. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. Having this faith of a sojourner, we know that the Lord is going to take us through. We know that we're saved, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, because we believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're confident in the day of judgment, 1 John 4, 17 and 18, because love casts out all fear, because we keep the commandments of the Lord. We love Him and keep His commandments, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. What effect does it make upon us knowing that our faith is that faith that is accounted for righteousness, and to know that the Lord is going to take us through? Look at the chorus for just a second. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Let me ask you this question. Do you feel at home in this world? You know, you feel at home. Oh, it's comfortable. It's great. It's where I want to be. Life is so good. Or it's like, yeah, I don't feel at home here. You know, my soul is tormented just like Lot by all the sin and the wickedness all about. I don't feel at home here. You know, there's just a lot of bad stuff going on, and I just wish I was away from all this stuff. I don't feel at home here. What does it mean to feel at home? That this world is not our home, with other people, family and Christians and unbelievers and our money and our jobs and our possessions and our time and the things that we do, the priorities in life, the worship of the church and our personal work. Where are our priorities? If this is not my home, I don't feel, get that, I don't feel that this world is my home. How does that change all of our priorities? What's really important then? The chorus here just a little bit later. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. I have no friend like you. I've sung that a lot of times. We've sung it a lot here, but I've never really thought about it. Have you thought about it before? I have no friend like you. You know, to really think this way and really believe this way and to say, I don't have a friend. I don't have a friend like Jesus. Beth, I'm sorry, I don't have a friend like Jesus. You're not it. I love you dearly. You didn't die for me. You didn't, you know, get on the cross for me. Kids, I love you all to death. But I'm sorry, you're not a friend to me like Jesus Christ. And to really believe that, let me ask you, do you really believe that? Or are these just words that just go off our tongues and we close our books and we go home? Oh, we had a great service. I feel good. But do we really believe that? Let me ask you this. Is this reflected in life? I have no friend like Jesus. Jesus is it. And when we truly believe that and we conduct our life in such a way, our dedication, what's important, What comes first? Who are we seeking to please above all others? That really changes our life. I have no friend like Jesus. There's not one person here upon the earth who's a friend like Jesus. He's the one who's pardoned me. He's the one who's going to take me through. He died on the cross for me. I was thinking about this during the Lord's Supper. I don't know. Let's pick somebody out of the audience. Dennis Trask, let's pick you. You know, if there was some wild gunman that came in here and he's going to kill every one of us, and Dennis said, you know what, just kill me, let everybody else go. And we watched a massacre. We watched him. We watched it happen. Really gross. Really bad. What would we feel toward him? He saved us. I don't think I'd ever forget you, Dennis. I don't think I could ever get it out of my mind what I watched and what I witnessed. But I was thinking during the Lord's Supper, what did Jesus do for me? Amplify that. Multiply that. I don't have a friend here upon the earth like that. So how does that affect us? We are living for an eternal prize, not a worldly prize. Everything in our lives reflects our attitude. And let me ask you this. Yes, we're Christians. Yes, we're working. Yes, we're improving. Yes, we're trying to become better. Yes, we're trying to have that faith of Abraham who sacrificed his only son. Now, he didn't have it at first. But we're trying to get there. Your life, the way you live, what does it reflect about your faith? What does it reflect? Do you have the faith of a sojourner? Faith of a sojourner, based on revelation from the Bible. Trust God, obeys God, even when not understanding, growing and maturing, living for an eternal home in heaven, no friend like Jesus. He's the one. If you have this faith, you're a child of God. Yes, you're like me. You're trying to improve. Yes, you're trying to get better. Yes, you're struggling with it sometimes. Yes, you're beating up on yourself sometimes. And that's what it takes. But if you're not a Christian this morning, you've not started yet. We ask you to think about this. Why don't you get started today? Turn your song books over to our invitation song, number 310, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? Jesus is waiting. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus is waiting. Why don't you become a Christian? I suppose you know what to do. You know that you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one who must be obeyed. You realize that you must repent of your sins. That is, turn from doing the wrong to doing the right. You may say, I don't know what all the right is right now. You don't need to know what all the right is. You need to have the commitment. We'll show you what the right is from the Word of God. From the Word of God, you can start doing that. To make your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized into Jesus Christ, and the X will be taken out of unrighteous and put in righteous. That's God's accounting. But there's one more group I want to talk about this morning. How about if you are a Christian, but you're not growing and maturing in your faith? How about if you're just content being who you are, what you are, you're not pushing yourself. Sometimes you're not beating up on yourself. You're not challenging yourself. You don't see yourself improving step by step. Let me ask you this question. Why keep Jesus waiting? And I'm confident you know what to do about that. If there's sin in your life, you need to get that out. We can help you pray this very morning. But maybe it's not necessarily sin. It's not something you've done. You're just not progressing. I ask you to say a prayer as we stand and sing in just a moment and start progressing. Be just like everybody else that's been a Christian, that's all the patriarchs, and begin progressing in your faith. Have the faith of a sojourner. Maybe not the faith of a lukewarm Christian. Faith of a sojourner. Why keep Jesus waiting? If you need to make a change in life, and if we can help you, we want you to come to the front right now as we stand and sing.